I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. How many of you can relate to this quote from a mother of two? I felt like the world was working against me when it came to keeping my family healthy. The mother of two is named Beth, and she found a great way to keep her family healthy from today's guest, Liz Wise, registered dietitian and co-author of The Mom's Guide to Meal Makeovers. Beth goes on to say, "The Mom's Guide to Meal Makeovers was a breakthrough book for me. Finally, the nutrition information I needed with realistic strategies and recipes to fit into my family's way of life." Liz Wise is an award-winning broadcast journalist, speaker, and spokesperson. For nearly two decades, she wrote and reported on nutrition and health for CNN, PBS, The Health Network, Time Life Medical, ABC Boston, Ivanhoe Broadcast News, and Medical News Network. Currently, she hosts the Meal Makeovers cooking segment for Everwell, an informative and entertaining video series which runs in physicians' waiting rooms nationwide. Liz, welcome to It's Your Health.
It's good to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. I love your book.
Thank you.
And the opening line in your wonderful book, it says, "It's 4 p.m. and if you're a mom, we'll bet that you, like a staggering 60% of all Americans, don't have a clue what you're having for dinner." Why do you think this statistic is so high, and how can your book help?
Well, the statistic is high because everybody's on the go. I mean, if you think about what life was like when we were kids, yeah. I don't know how old you are, I won't ask, but a lot of moms were not working. They were home, so they could spend the day doing what they needed to do and get dinner ready. So when the kids were hungry, dinner was right there. And so today we're all very busy. Mom's working, dad's working, kids are involved in lots of activities. We have so many other things to divert our attention away from the kitchen. And so what happens is that it is 4 or 5 o'clock and everyone's scratching their heads like, what are we going to have? Yeah. And what happens is you end up getting takeout or eating convenience foods, and that's when, or nibbling, you know, to hold you over on sort of empty calorie foods. And there begins sort of the downfall of the American diet because everybody is so busy.
Yeah. Now, for the 40% of moms who are, who do know what they're having for dinner, why should they make over their old standby dinners?
Well, the focus of the book is sort of twofold. The first is that we want to help people get fast meals on the table, and we want to make sure they're healthy. But also we know, and I have a co-author. Her name's Janice Bissix, who's also a dietitian and a mom. But so, you know, we know that folks want to give their kids foods they enjoy. So what we say is cook up all those classic family favorites, because we want the family to eat the same meal together, but make a few changes so that they're healthy, because a lot of those classic favorites are not always the healthiest. And so, you know, if you're talking about meatballs, which may have historically been made, you know, in your family with a high, very high-fat ground beef, you know, you can switch over to a leaner cut of ground beef. You can add nutrition into the meatballs by blending in maybe a shredded carrot. No one will know it's there, I promise. A little ground flaxseed, little oatmeal. You know, there's lots of things you can add to your recipes that will make them healthier. And there's things you can take away, like the fatty meats and the like.
Well, that's what I loved about your book. I highly recommend it because you give such concrete examples. You know, it's not, oh, everyone should eat healthier. Okay, bye-bye. You know, you actually have lists of things that you can do. And one of the great things is there's 5 steps in your meal makeover plan, if you can tell us about those.
Oh, sure. Well, the first step is to make, I got to pull out my book now because it's been a while since I wrote the book. Let me start with my favorite step in the 5-step plan, and that is you want to improve your diet. You want to get better, but you don't have to be perfect. And I think a lot of times we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to sort of be A+, like, I've got to be the perfect mom. Well, there's really no such thing. And so if you say, gee, we're going to make some small changes, and we're going to get better. Not perfect, but better. And when I say small changes, I mean, for example, adding 1 extra fruit serving to your family's diet every day. That's easy. Because if you think about breakfast, this is so easy. Breakfast time, kids come down, rubbing their eyes, and just waking up. And what do we give them? A bowl of cereal, which is fine. Or a bagel, which is fine. But why not start off with a little bit of fruit? They're hungry, right? So you can give them some sliced strawberries, some melon, some blueberries, half a banana, and then break out the cereal or the bagel. So you've got your extra fruit serving. Yeah. You can add an extra vegetable to your family's diet every single day. So at dinner time, if maybe you were having corn or peas, which is fine, have a second vegetable. Why not? Have a little bit of salad or something. Whole grains is another way you can start to improve your family's diet. Again, not perfect, but better. You know, half of the grains we consume should be whole grains. And if your family's not meeting that goal, say, how can we up the whole grains? Oh, I know, we love cinnamon swirl bread. Now we're going to switch over to a whole grain cinnamon swirl. My kids won't know the difference, but it's going to be better for them, and it's going to taste just as good. So those are little things you can do every single day, not to be perfect, but to be a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the white flour, or you mentioned the whole grains, and right now it's great that it's getting more popular, but there's still a lot of people that are still using the white flour and the heavy amounts of sugar. And, you know, obesity obviously is a huge problem for American children. It's a major health concern. And your book can really point the way to making these small changes that you're talking about that's going to have a really great impact in the long run, and also will help educate the kids about how to eat as adults. You know, you're setting the groundwork.
Right. The obesity thing is a huge, huge problem. And I don't know if it's gotten worse or if it's leveled off, but I have noticed lately just walking around, you know, at the beach and going here and there this summer that I feel as though obesity is not going away. I do feel like it's increasing, and it saddens me. And there are so many easy things parents can do to help their kids not go down that path, because 85% of overweight kids will become overweight adults. It's very difficult to change those habits and take the weight off. So let's prevent it when our kids are kids.
Oh, yeah.
And so forget the soft drinks. Get rid of them. It's okay to say to your kids, you know what? We don't drink soft drinks in this family. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're going to a party, you're having a cookout, you're going to a ball game, that's fine. But the everyday 20-ounce soda, not happening. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for parents to say, you know what? I'm the parent. I'm the boss. In fact, the cover of my book shows a mom in a chef's hat, and it says boss on it. You're not the dictator. You're the boss. Or as I like to say to my boys, I'm the alpha in the family.
That's
I'm
right.
The alpha female, and you're my pup. And it's okay for me to lay the rules, because the rules are really designed to make you happier and healthier. You know, but a parent will say to me often, well, it's hard for me to say no to the chicken nuggets, and it's hard for me to say no to the soft drinks. And that's because the food industry is so powerful in terms of how they market to our kids. And so the second plan, the second step in our five-step meal makeover plan, you'll love this one, market good nutrition to kids. You could become a marketer or an advertiser, and you got to make those healthy foods really appealing, because you have to compete with the likes of McDonald's. So make your food taste good, look good, smell good, and have fun with it. And remember that you can beat those guys.
You know, you talk about that in the book, about some tips when you're at the store, you're actually in the moment with your child, and he wants to, you know, he or she wants a brand with their favorite cartoon character. If you can tell us, you know, how to talk them down, you know, say, come away from
away.
The
donuts. Walk away from the donuts. Yeah, you know, my boys, I go at it from different sort of directions. Sometimes, like years ago, I can remember, and I talk about this in the book, we were in the grocery store, and my son, he was very obsessed with Star Wars at the time, and he wanted this glow-in-the-dark squeeze yogurt. You know those squeezy yogurts?
Yeah.
He wanted one that was like this glow-in-the-dark. I'm like, what are you going to walk into the bathroom, close the door, and, you know, because we don't have a window in there, and eat your yogurt in the bathroom? Illy. So I said, all right, we'll get this glow-in-the-dark squeeze yogurt full of artificial colors, which that's the one thing I don't do in my family is the artificial colors, because why? Why bother? And it does make some kids kind of hyper, actually, believe it or not.
Yes.
So I said, we'll buy both brands, the all-natural one and the fake-o one, and we'll do a blind taste test.
Oh,
and we did that,
idea.
And it turns out he liked them equal. He liked them the same. So we got his little glow-in-the-dark. It was like a lightsaber, you know, squeeze yogurt. And that was the one time we did it. But I'll say, you know what? It's more expensive because of all the marketing dollars and advertising that goes behind it. It's not as good for you, and it doesn't taste any better. So let's just go back to the one we were eating in the first place. And that's part of, you know, marketing the good stuff.
Yeah, and you had mentioned to just making your food look better, smell better, taste better. And what are some ideas for something like, you know, spinach or, you know, I mean, I was thinking garlic perhaps.
Yeah. You're right. Spinach is a great example. Well, kids like, I have found baby spinach over the regular spinach. So I'll buy like a bag of the pre-washed baby spinach. And I always wash it again because that's just me. And then I will saute it in a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, like a medium high. Or medium heat, rather, along with a little bit of garlic. So I'll take a clove of garlic and mince that up, chop it up, And I'll saute that gently in some extra virgin olive oil. And then I'll add the baby spinach, and I'll saute that. And then I'll drizzle or sprinkle it with a little bit of kosher salt. I like to use kosher salt. The brand I like, I don't work for them, I promise you.
That's okay.
Is Diamond Crystal, because it's what the chefs use, and it actually tastes really good. And it's lower in sodium than table salt. So the kosher salt, if you looked under a microscope, is very sort of flaky. It looks like a snowflake almost. So it really hits your taste buds, and it's pure, and it tastes good. You don't have to use a lot of it, and it's lower because it's flaky, lower in sodium. And boy, as Americans, we consume way too much sodium. So it's a good way to cut back while still seasoning your food. So anyway, that baby spinach that you've sauteed up tastes really yummy now.
It does taste
almost
nice.
Like you're in a restaurant, and the kids will be like, oh, I want some more of that.
Oh, that's great.
And I do the same thing, like I might steam up some broccoli. Boring, but then I drizzle with a little extra virgin olive oil, a little bit of kosher salt, maybe a little bit of grated Parmesan, and now that steamed broccoli tastes good.
Yeah.
And we want our food to taste good. Or I might roast up some carrots. I might sort of cut them up into large matchsticks and toss them once again with the olive oil and a little salt and cook them in the oven at like 400 degrees till they're nice and caramelized almost. They taste sweet and yummy. And so the key is to make those veggies taste good so your kids want seconds.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Now, you do have a list in your book of fruits and vegetables with equivalent nutrients to what you call the dreaded green stuff, if even, you know, after you make it over, if some kids are still finicky. Can you tell us some of those?
Well, a lot of kids, you know, parents get upset because they'll say, you know what, I cannot get my child to eat green vegetables. What am I going to do? Well, the good news is your child will survive. So what you want to do then is say, all right, if I'm having a hard time with veggies, what can I do here? Well, think about some of the sweeter vegetables like carrots and sweet potatoes, and you can offer those. And my kids love sweet potato French fries. I just get sweet potatoes and peel them and cut them into wedges. I've actually got a recipe for this on mealmakeovermoms.com, which is my website, and we've got tons of free recipes on there for folks. So please check it out. And we also have a blog with lots of new, fresh recipes. But anyway, I toss the wedges of sweet potato with some canola oil and then season it with, you know, a little bit of ground cinnamon, a little bit of ginger, a little ground ginger powder, a little salt. And then I will bake those in the oven and turn them about halfway through. But anyway, they taste really sweet and yummy. So there's a veggie. You could do peas. You know, peas are really nutritious, super high in fiber, and kids seem to like peas. I just get frozen petite peas, and I just zap them in the microwave with a little olive oil, a little salt. You could see I'm in an olive oil salt jag here myself.
That's all right. I like it.
And then they taste good. But yeah. As far as fruits go, you know, bring on the fruit. You know, kids seem to really like fruits because they are so naturally sweet. So some fruits that are super nutritious would be cantaloupe and mangoes, peaches, nectarines, pears and oranges are really nutritious, and grapes and kiwi fruit. So all of these fruits, which are so yummy, are so packed with good nutrition. So just compensate with a little more fruit. And you know what? It can be dried fruit. It can be frozen fruit that you might blend up into a fruit smoothie, which is super easy. I like to use like 100% apple juice in a blender along with some strawberry low-fat yogurt and some frozen strawberries and a banana or half a banana. I just blend that up. Yeah. My kids had that with breakfast today. And so I know they're getting all that good fruit and some calcium from the yogurt, which is also good.
You know, it's funny. I recently interviewed a gentleman who wrote The Complete Idiot's Guide to Raw Foods, and we were talking about fruitarians. And I was saying that my five-year-old daughter, honestly, she's practically a fruitarian. I mean, over anything, she likes fruit, loves fruit. But to try to get a vegetable in her other than, you know, sugar snap peas, she'll open them up and just eat the pea on the inside and broccoli. It's like, forget about it. But it's nice to hear that, okay, if she's a fruitarian,
I think she's going to make it.
Yeah.
She's
Now, speaking of sweets, you talk about desserts, and you have some desserts do's and don'ts in the book.
Well, the thing with desserts, and my kids, I will tell you, I have two boys. Simon is 10 and Josh is 14. and they love their chocolate because they're like their mom, and I love my chocolate. We like dessert. And dessert should not be perceived as forbidden fruit. You should feel free to serve dessert to your family. A couple of important things to keep in mind. Watch the portion size. You know, if you go out for ice cream, and that's something we're all doing, because now that it's finally hot outside. But I will always get the kitty cone or the kitty portion. And my kids will be like, I want the small, I don't want the kitty. And I'll say, you know what? I'm getting the kitty, and Dad is getting the kitty. Because the kitty size is really equivalent to large when I was a kid, because everything has been supersized.
That's true.
So don't feel bad saying, we are all, as a family, going to get a kitty cone, and I'll be surprised if we can each finish it. We just went out and got ice cream. We were up in New Hampshire over the weekend. We all got a kitty cone, and my 10-year-old could not finish his. So I will always remind him of that. So let's cut back on those portions, and we don't have to have ice cream every day either. We don't have to do it every day. And then look to other healthier desserts, like maybe a fruit crisp. On our website, we've got an apple blueberry crisp that will blow you away. There's no butter in that crisp topping. It is so yummy. A lot of times when we bake, and again, our recipes on the website reflect this, we use canola oil instead of butter. By doing this, we cut back on the saturated fat from the butter, which is kind of the bad guy in terms of fat, clogs those arteries. And we use canola oil, which is a healthier oil, and everything still tastes yummy. So watch the portions, use smart fats, use fruit. You could even add vegetables to your desserts. We have pumpkin, chocolatey pumpkin bars on the website, great recipe. Oh, I've got wonderful carrot cupcakes where you grate up a carrot. So good.
Oh, you know, I recently, another show I recently did was a woman who wrote about the health benefits of chocolate, Chocolate, a Healthy Passion. And I love, and my five-year-old daughter loves chocolate-covered goji berries. And the goji berries are really high in antioxidants. And, oh, my gosh, they are, it's probably the best chocolate I've ever had. So it's good. You know, a little dark chocolate goes a long way.
Indeed it does.
And it's actually quite good. Now let's move on to talk about school lunches and why they seem to be so challenging. And how do you get your kids, you know, when I was a kid, I would, you know, try to trade or give away.
You really can't trade anymore because of food allergies. The schools are very adamant about that.
I didn't know that.
So when, you know, it's so funny. I always hear people say, oh, don't, you know, you don't want your child to trade their lunch. And I'm thinking, my kids aren't allowed to do that. So a couple of ideas. My boys are in camp this week, and I'm actually packing their lunches. I feel like, good grief, it's summer, and I'm packing lunches. Give me a break. But a couple of things that we have been doing. Here's one couple fun things. You can make kebabs. You get wooden skewers, and these are things people can buy when they're grilling out. And you can thread onto those wooden skewers strawberries, grapes, cubes of cheese, low-fat cheese. You can go to the deli counter, and instead of saying, can I have sliced turkey, you could actually have them slice off deli turkey for you in like a 3/4-inch thick piece that you can then cut into cubes. And you can use that for those kebabs. And then you can just wrap those in tin foil and pop them into your lunchbox. Really fun, really yummy.
Yeah.
And I remember I made those for my 10-year-old to bring to camp. They're actually allowed to trade at camp. A lot of trading going on, and he's a popular young man. And I'll say, wait a second, what did you trade that for? You know, and he's getting a little junk food there. I'm like, come on, don't trade that.
I know, that's so creative, and it sounds delicious.
It's very fun. What I made for him today, I got whole wheat rolls, and I layered inside the rolls one little slice of American cheese, some deli turkey. I cooked up some bacon. Yes, the dietitian makes bacon.
Yeah, well.
And I got a nitrite-free, all-natural bacon, which, you know, the only caveat is that it's not going to last in your fridge for 4 years. You got to use it right away or freeze it. But I cooked that up, and I drained all the fat, and I patted it dry to get any extra grease off the bacon. So I put like one or two slices of bacon on that sandwich, and then I put the top of the bun on, and then I heated up some canola oil in a skillet, and I cooked the sandwich almost like a panini, kind of pressed down on it, and I wrapped it in tin foil.
Can I move in? I mean,
it's so good.
Seriously, your food is
amazing.
It's amazing. I think all the listeners are thinking, all right, we all want to move in with Liz because, wow.
I'm a nice mom.
Oh, man, you sure are.
And you know how before I was talking about the cinnamon swirl bread? I like to get the whole wheat cinnamon swirl, and I'll use that for peanut butter and jelly instead of the same old whole wheat because the kids get bored with that. And I remember the first time I made that for the boys, they were like, Mom, you can make that every day. Because they're allowed to bring peanut butter and jelly. And you know what I do, too? I always pack a fruit and a veggie in the lunchbox. Today it was grapes and some carrots that I just sliced up. Or you could do sugar snap peas, bell pepper strips. You could do green beans. So any time you can get a veggie in the lunchbox, you got to go for it.
Oh, yeah. Now, I wanted to talk about, you talked about the importance of a well-maintained pantry, and you used a French expression, mets et pas. I speak more Spanish. I don't speak French.
I will give you the French pronunciation.
Oh, please do.
It's mise en place.
Ooh, much better.
Mise en place.
And what does that mean, and why is that important?
It means everything in its place.
Oh.
And so if you go into a restaurant, if you've ever gone behind the scenes, you'll see that the chefs have chopped up and prepped and portioned out everything they're going to need. So if they're using mushrooms, sliced mushrooms in recipes, you've got those all sliced up and ready to go. So the mise en place is there, which means everything's prepped. So if you're making dinner, well, let me use an example. I've got my crock pot loaded up right now. I love to use it in the summer so I don't have to heat up the kitchen. So what I'll do, I'm going to make pulled pork. So last night I prepped my ingredients, which was an onion chopped up, a carrot shredded. I had my pork ready. I had trimmed all the visible fat off of it. So I was ready to go. So this morning I just add everything to the crock pot and program it, and I'm good to go. So it was me. All my ingredients were mise en place, or everything was in its place, so that when I'm in a hurry, I could just whip up dinner because everything's ready to go. So that's a great way to stay organized. And the other thing I find with recipes, read through the recipe before you get started. What ingredients will I need? What equipment will I need? How much time will I need? So read the directions. And then you can get yourself organized. And then you might say, uh-oh, I don't have that cup of flour. And that's when, ding-dong, run to the neighbor's house and get that flour. But you don't want to, in the middle of a recipe, run around the neighborhood. You want to be, like, ready to go.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I like to take whole grains, and I'll make a different type. Like, I'll make millet or brown rice or whole grain pasta, and I like to have it in my fridge in, you know, Tupperwares just for a few days, but then I can have a bunch of chicken cooked and have frozen veggies, and then I can easily throw different things together well. I don't know if you ever do that, but...
Oh, that's a great strategy.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I did for the boys last week at camp. I cooked up some penne pasta, and sometimes I use whole wheat. Sometimes I use white, and sometimes I compromise.
Okay.
And this is what I talk to parents about a lot, and that is, remember, you don't have to be perfect. You just kind of want to make those little improvements. What you can do is you can go to the market and look for the whole wheat blend pastas, which means they're made with part white, part whole wheat. Again, I don't work for them, but one brand that I like is Barilla Plus. Comes in a yellow box. And they add whole wheat flour, they add some flaxseed, the ground flaxseed. And by the way, ground flaxseed is very rich in fiber and heart-healthy omega-3 fat. It's the kind of fat you get in salmon and walnuts and canola oil. It's in the flaxseed. Good for the brain, good for the heart. Kids don't get enough of it. We should all be eating more of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in that pasta, they've got all these really nutritious ingredients. And it's very, it sort of tastes more like white pasta.
Yeah.
And the color is a little more pale. You know, it's not as, like, brown.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great compromise. And so I made a pasta salad. I had some leftover chicken I chopped up and added to it. I had some frozen corn kernels that I thawed. Some sliced carrot that I had sort of just cooked for a minute at the end of, you know, with pasta water at the end just to soften them up a bit. And I just added like some Paul Newman salad dressing, a little oil and vinegar.
Ooh.
And it was so good. A little salt, seasoned it up.
That sounds so
easy.
Good.
Easy peasy. It's got to be easy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're not going to do it.
That's
so
true.
I do try to make all the recipes simple and not too many ingredients and nothing weird. Like,
yeah.
Where am I going to buy that?
Yeah, exactly. Now, something that isn't so easy is getting the family all together. And we just have a few minutes left. And I just,
sure.
If you could touch on that, how do we get everyone to slow down and have dinner together?
That's so important, and that is a huge challenge nowadays. I think for families, you know, if you're when you're on the go, and whether it's, you know, baseball season or the kids have basketball practice or whatever, try to eat together as a family as much as you can. And even if, you know, one spouse is going to be home late, well, you know what? They can eat leftovers later on. You know, a lot of moms will say, well, you know, my kids eat at 6 o'clock, and then I eat with my husband when he gets home later. What I say is sit down with your kids at 6 o'clock. Eat the meal with the kids and all have the same meal, because, you know what? We don't want to spend our lives being short order cooks as busy moms. No way.
Yeah.
So have dinner with your kids. Talk about the day. Have some fun. Do all that great family bonding, you know, mm-hmm. And then later on, sit with your husband, and that's maybe when you have your dessert, or maybe when you put your feet up and have a glass of wine, or, you know, whatever you enjoy, and or just sit there and have a glass of water and keep him company. So, or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe dad's home and mom's coming home later, but the kids need a parent at the table with them, because you're going to be a good role model, and you're going to talk about all sorts of neat stuff with your kids, and they're going to see you eating the same thing they're eating. So it's a nice time, and it's something kids will look back on and really appreciate.
Yeah, no, I think that makes so much sense. Well, Liz, I want to thank you so much. I am so hungry now. I'm going to stop at the store and make everything that you talked about. And if you can give your website, your blog, your contact information, that would be great.
The website is Meal, M-E-A-L, Makeover Moms with an S, mealmakeovermoms.com. And on the website, we have recipes, we have a food blog, we've got, and we post to it 2-3 times a week. We also have a weekly podcast. We have our own radio show,
which folks
can listen to on our website or download from iTunes. And when you're listening to your iPod, you can listen to the podcast. And they're always about 20, 25 minutes, and we share new recipes and tips and food adventures, and it's really fun.
Oh,
so hopefully folks can come to the website and enjoy all the free resources we have for them.
Yeah, well, I highly encourage people to check it out. Well, I want to thank you so much again.
Well, thanks
for having
me. That
was wonderful. And now, as everyone knows, we have a Thursday show now from 9:30 to 10. And coming up this Thursday, we'll be joined by Ramiel Nagel. He's the author of Cure Tooth Decay, Heal and Prevent Cavities with Nutrition. He has a very interesting perspective on teeth and how to care for them. So have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.